Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Thank you for coming out tonight, braving the weather. I know it was raining pretty good up in Covington. Yeah, well, it is. Yeah, that's true. It is the area, right? It's going to rain. Amen. It's raining. You know, so the Lord gives me messages, and sometimes they're really hard to bring forth the messages God has me to bring forth. Some of y'all know, if you listen to Casey's thing, I have a prophetic anointing, and sometimes it's really hard with the words, that the messages that God gives me. I fought God a lot on what he wanted me to preach. I like to preach a lot on identity in Christ, and this was not it. Let's just pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you for tonight. And Lord, I thank you for this word, Father, and I just pray that we just receive it, Father, and that we would be vessels for your purpose, for you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, that you lead us, you guide us, you direct us, you teach us all things, Lord. We thank you for that, Father. Open this word to us in Jesus' name. We all live in America, right? We're in America. So far, yeah. America has been blessed by God. Has been blessed by God. We were a nation that was founded upon Christ, that was founded on the Ten Commandments. I went back and I was looking in, I found something, it was from 1610. And it's the first official document, written code of laws enacted in America. It was for the Virginia colony, and it included all the Ten Commandments in it. And then slowly, every other colony started to adopt all of this, right? And so we were a nation that was founded upon the Ten Commandments. We were founded upon Christianity. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 9, and this is Moses talking here, and Moses is talking to this generation that's fixing to follow Joshua into the promised land. So it's not the first generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt, it's their children. So they're fixing to go into the promised land. And so Moses has said to them, he says, "Surely I've taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me that you should act according to them in the land which you go up to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear of these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him?" Verse 8, it says, "And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day?" So Moses is telling them that as a nation that was founded by God with the statutes and laws of God, that it was incredibly great and incredibly blessed among all the people. But he goes on to say, verse 9, "Only take heed to yourselves." Then he says in verse 23, "Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God." Verse 25, he says, "And you shall do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you have crossed over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed." Now he's talking about the nation of Israel, but America as a nation that's founded upon the foundation of God and God's laws and God's ways, we have turned from it. America's foundation has been eroded, and the face of America is about to change. She is. The Lord has shown me what is going to happen. See, America has forgotten her covenant with God. And so has the church. Now, if you were here on Sunday, you learn what a covenant is. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, go back and listen to that so you understand what a covenant is and how serious God takes his covenants. Folks, God divorced Israel. Just let that sink in for a minute. Because of their continual backslidings against God. They left off his laws. They left off his commandments. False teachers have crept into the church. 2 Peter 2, verses 18 through 22, it says, this is speaking of false teachers, he says, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error." So he says, false teachers, he says, they have eluded those, they are luring those who have already escaped. So he says, he's talking to the church. They've eluded those that have escaped. They are luring those that have escaped, sorry. He says, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire." A dog returns to his vomit. I don't know if you have a dog, but I have a dog and he has a weak stomach. When I say a weak stomach, he has a weak stomach. And he's constantly vomiting. Yeah. So we have learned when he starts going, we grab a towel, or sometimes Pastor Matt will take off his shirt and we put it under him so he can barf on that. And so we wash his shirts. Not that one. No. Just a t-shirt. Hopefully we get a towel. And so the other day, that I put a towel under him, he barfs, and I go, and usually I would put it in the washing machine, right, to clean it, but there was vomit on it. So I went and I checked it out the backyard and, you know, wiped it off, went and put my towel in the washer, start the washer up, clean towel, it's good, right? Next morning, I take my dog out to feed him. Later on that afternoon, I go look over the edge, and all the dog vomit is gone. Backsliding is like eating your own vomit. It's a good word picture. The Lord has shown me how backsliding affects us. The Lord gave me this dream, and in this dream there was this white embankment, and this deer would go up the embankment. And as the deer got to the top, it would slide back down. And as it slid back down, there was lions that came out and scratched it. And the first time it was a moderate scratch, not very big. The deer climbed back up again and it fell back down again, and the lions came out and scratched it deeper and harder. It did it again. It did it like 5 or 6 times. The deer kept doing this. And I thought, wow, how that poor deer, right? And it came out, and eventually the last time it was so weak from the scratches and from the backsliding that the lions devoured it. And so I said, Lord, what is this? What does this mean? And the Lord took me to Jeremiah chapter 5. And verse 3, it says, "O Lord, are not your eyes upon the truth? For you have You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Verse 6, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them. And I was like, oh my gosh. And a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goes out there shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. And so what the Lord showed me about that is that every time we backslide, folks, and I'm not talking about that you struggle with sin. I'm talking about it's a literal turning from God and saying, I'm going to go do my way. I'm going to have my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. And it's falling back into that old sin that God has brought you up out of. And every time we do that, Satan comes in immediately because he seeks whom we may devour, and he wounds us. And it makes us harder to climb back up. And we backslide again, and he comes in and he wounds us deeper. And he wounds us deeper, and he wounds us deeper. And so finally we have no energy to come back, and we are devoured by the enemy. And he says, because we refuse correction. We refuse to listen to what God is saying to us. We refuse to listen to his word. We refuse to enact his laws, if you will, in our own life. Folks, right now, the great apostasy is taking place. It's taking place. The great apostasy that's talked about is taking place in America. There's a huge falling away from the faith. Why are so many falling from the faith? Why are people returning to their vomit? Why are they going back to what God has brought them out of? Jesus said this. He predicted this. He says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Yep. In Matthew 24, he says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness is rampant in the world, right? Okay. Thank God we live in a country that still has somewhat laws. We still have somewhat laws. But Jesus isn't talking about the world here. He's referring to lawlessness in the church. He's referring to lawlessness in his people. In the church, look what he says. He goes on, he says, persecution would come, and then, in verse 9, he says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. He's talking about his people. And shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended in the church. Many in the church will betray one another. Many in the church will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many in the church, in his people, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. This prediction has been fulfilled. Many false prophets have arisen. They've deceived many. Lawlessness abounds, and the love of many has grown cold. Jesus is saying that the keeping of God's law and love are intricately woven. Lawlessness, no love. Love grows cold in lawlessness. By the keeping of God's law, love abounds. What is lawlessness? Lawlessness is a customary disregard of laws. A lawless person has little respect for law and refuses to be restricted by it. Although everyone violates laws, not everyone is lawless, right? Right? A law-abiding person wants to obey the law, but sometimes falls short, right? Sometimes you speed, right?
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes sometimes you speed. But here, a lawless person ignores the speed limit. You see the difference? Pastor Matt and I were at the Grand Canyon a couple years ago, and if you've been in the Grand Canyon, they got a big fence around the rim, and it says, do not go over the fence. Well, we saw people over the fence sitting on the rim, like taking pictures. That's lawlessness. It's stupidity. I saw, have you seen that there's a meme going around, right, with the people in a fountain, and it clearly says, please do not get in the fountain. And they're waiting in the fountain. What about the zoo where it says, please do not feed the animals? And you see people feeding the animals, right? It's lawlessness. Don't park in the parking lot. Yeah, there you go. It's ignoring the law. It's ignoring the law. It doesn't apply to you. Why does lawlessness cause love to grow cold? Right? Jesus said, lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And indeed, the love of many has grown cold. This is inevitable because lawlessness and love are not compatible. Lawlessness and love are not compatible. They're not compatible. Lawlessness is a form of self-indulgence, and love is not self-indulgent. Love does not seek its own. There's no room for lawlessness in love. See, and I know what you guys are thinking. Like, folks, there's a gospel of love that's being preached out there, and it is not the gospel of Christ. Because it's a gospel of indulgence. It's a gospel of lawlessness. And you can call it whatever you want to, but it's not Christ's gospel. It's not Jesus' gospel of peace. It's not God's love. When Jesus was asked, which is the first commandment of all, right? He replied with, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. By rejecting God's law, a lawless person rejects the love on which God's law is based. If God is love, his laws are based in love. His laws are based in love. By rejecting his law, we reject the love on which his law is based. Lawlessness betrays a lack of love for God. Isaiah 33:22 says, the Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our lawgiver. How can a lawless person who scorns law love the lawgiver? Says he is the lawgiver. His law is made from love. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he who does not love me does not keep my words. If you love me, keep my commandments. He who does not love me does not keep my words. That's what Jesus said. If you're looking for words in red. Right, 1 John goes on to explain, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. God's love is perfected in us when we keep God's word. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. This is the love of God, that we keep his word, that we keep his commandments. That we do what he asks us to do, right? His word is settled forever. Not only does lawlessness betray a lack of love for God, it betrays a lack of love for man. Romans 13:10 says, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. A lawless person lacks love for others. Right? The reckless speeder lacks love for others on the road. plain and simple. When you think about only yourself, you're lacking love for others. God's law is based on love. God has declared evil to be lawful because it is harmful to men.
That's right.
Evil is harmful. Evil is unlawful because it's harmful.
Right.
It's harmful. You know, people look at you when you start talking about law. It's like, oh, I'm redeemed from the law. Yeah, we'll get to it. God's law still stand. You shall have no other gods before me. That's one of his laws. I'm pretty sure he still means it. Pretty sure he still means honor your mother and father. Pretty sure. Pretty sure he still means do not murder. Pretty sure. God loves us and wants to protect us from harm. A lawless person considers his own desires more important than the welfare of others. That's what lawless is. Our own desires are more important than somebody else. Our wants and needs are more important than somebody else. Lawlessness results in immorality and evil practices. 1 Timothy 1:8-10 says, "We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for sexually immoral people, for homosexuals, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers." There's a list there. Someone who loves God and man concurs with God's law and strives to live a godly life. He recognizes God's law as good because it is based on love and protects man from evil. All of God's laws are based on love, but the lawless person rebels against God's law because he does not have the love of God in his heart. He gives priority to his own desires and has little concern for the welfare of others. This is why we have to have God's love in us in order to love others. Because if it's not God's love in you, it's your own selfish love. It's our own selfish wanting to meet our own needs. Even serving others can meet your own needs sometimes, folks. The lawless person rebels against God's love, God's law, because he does not have the love of God in his heart. We saw that list there. You know, and I've heard people say this about sexual immorality. They say, you know, why do you care? It's my body. I can do what I want to do. I'm not hurting anybody. Do you know what sexual immorality does? You rob the other person of their purity before God. We say, well, I'm not hurting anybody. Well, first of all, you're wounding your own temple, yes, but you rob someone else of their purity before God. So you are thinking of only yourself. You're not thinking about how your actions affect somebody else. You rob them of their purity before God. Lawlessness results in false religion. One might suppose that religious people would not be lawless, right? But what did Jesus say about the religious leaders of his time? He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Lawlessness. They were full of lawlessness. Lawlessness leads not only to immorality, but to wrong religious practices. To these same religious people, Jesus said, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" They were religious. And they weren't teaching God's law, people. They were teaching their own precepts as God's law. Which is when they came against Jesus and they said, "You're breaking the law." He's like, no, "I'm breaking what you said is law. These are your traditions." Jesus didn't break the law, people. He wasn't a rebel. He fully embraced it and lived it out to its full purpose. Because he was perfect. He was a perfect son of God. He did his Father's will in everything and in every way. And to be the perfect sacrifice, he had to be perfect in everything. And he was a Jew, and so he was perfect in the Jewish ways. He was perfect in it. Lawlessness results in worthless worship. Lawless religious people deceive themselves into thinking they are serving God when actually they are serving the lawless one. Yeah. He says, "They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Right? And he told the same people, "Because you work in lawlessness." You work in lawlessness. You don't really want to obey me. You don't really want my ways. You don't really want to follow me. You just want the blessings. Yeah. Folks, God knows when we give him lip service. He knows when we're being religious. He knows when we're just coming in and just giving him, we're whitewashed tombs. He knows. He knows what's going on. These people are in the habit of serving God, not according to his word, but according to their own wishes. Serving God, not according to God's word, God's ways, what God wants, but according to their own wishes. It's self-indulgence. Jesus warned, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? We cast out demons in your name. We've done many wonders in your name.' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Jesus said it. He said, you're a whitewashed tomb. You look good. You say you're a Christian. You're doing everything right, but inside you're lawless. You don't want to obey me. You don't want to follow me. You don't want my ways. You like to use my name a lot. Thus, these people who are very religious can reject God's law to follow traditions, their own desires, or the spirit of the times. You begin to follow tradition, you begin to follow your own desires, you begin to follow just the spirit of the time. Their zealous religious practices are lawless if they do not comply with the word of God. And God has shown me what a wretched state the American church is in. And I saw a body walking around in white, and it was literally these scriptures that God showed me. The whitewashed tomb, they were walking around in white, like as if they were cleansed and pure. But the robe was lifted up, and the leg was like 3/4 of the way eaten by rats. On the outside, it looks good. On the outside, it looks pure. It looks white. It looks like they're alive. But on the inside, it's dead. Folks, the church has broke its covenant with God. And it's in a bad state. Its love has grown cold, because of lawlessness in God's people. That's what he's talking about, folks. Not lawlessness in the world. So we look around and like, yeah, you can say there's lawlessness. God is specifically talking to his people. There's lawlessness in my people. This great apostasy began at the close of the first century, and it is called the mystery of lawlessness. It's the mystery of lawlessness. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:7. This apostasy still exists. Folks, and the great majority of those who call themselves Christians do not follow Christ. And that is what we are seeing going on in America. This is why the foundation has been destroyed. And the church has not done her job. And the church has allowed lawlessness to come in. Because of our own wants, our own desires. Because of the spirit of the time, the mystery of lawlessness that's already at work. And the church, folks, is in a bad state. And I was thinking about this Sunday, and I'm like, Sunday's coming, it's Easter, right? And you know, we're going to see all these people say, he is risen indeed. And I'm going to see it all over Facebook, and I'm like, you are lawless. You claim to know him, and you do things in his name, but you work in lawlessness. And it's grieving to God. Folks, this year, America is going to change. There's things coming, and the face of America is going to change. And we need to rise up and be the church that God has called us to be. The scripture warns us about lawless influences. We are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? He doesn't say you can't minister to those. You're not supposed to be in fellowship with those. And when you read your Bible, he even talks about not being in fellowship with believers that aren't living for God, right? He says, you can count him as a brother, but don't have anything to do with him. Don't be in fellowship with him. Don't sit and eat with him. Because we're supposed to guard against lawlessness at all cost. We're supposed to guard that. Because of this lawlessness, many Christians fall away and return to their vomit. Remember my dog when you think about this sermon. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4 says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, he's talking about the day of his return, will not come unless the falling away comes first. Folks, we are seeing a great falling away from the faith. And I don't care if people are still claiming to be Christian. There's lots of churches out there that still say they are Christian churches, and they are not. They are full of lawlessness. And if you have to ask what it is, you can ask me later. But they are full of lawlessness. Christ is not in them. They do a lot of good works, and they appear alive, but they are really dead. Satan is behind these lawless influences. Don't forget who your enemy is. Satan is the lawless one. If you were here on Sunday, I hope that you renewed your covenant vow to God. Because God is calling us at this time and this hour to remain steadfast. To be grounded on his word and remain steadfast in the faith. And not to turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Not to be influenced by anything other than the word of God. He's calling us to endure to the end. See, Christ came to redeem us from lawless deeds. Titus 2:14 says, Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself and his own special people zealous for good works. He came to set us free from the lawless deeds. Not that we would still live in them, or not that we would even go back to them, but that we would rise above them and walk with him in victory. This redemption is necessary, as the word says that everyone has sinned, right? Whoever sins commits lawlessness. And we know lawlessness is sin. Sin is lawlessness. And because Jesus loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, he allowed himself to be crucified to redeem us from the lawless deeds by paying the penalty for our sins. To accept this grace, we must give up our former lawless ways to Christ. Because he did that, it's such a wonderful gift that he has given us to be redeemed, to be set free from the lawless deeds. He set us free from that. By the blood of the Lamb, we've been set free. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. He said, you used to present yourself to lawlessness and lawlessness to more lawlessness. But now he says, turn from that and present yourself a living sacrifice unto righteousness and holiness. And we can do this because he has given us the Holy Spirit. Christians have been freed from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:3-4 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his only Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh on account of our sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he says, when we walk according to the Spirit of God, we fulfill God's law. Yes. So you don't have to worry about, am I being lawless? You can say, if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm obeying God. If I'm following the Spirit, I'm not walking in lawlessness. I'm walking in righteousness. That's why he gave us the Spirit, so we could overcome that lawlessness and be a purified, holy people unto him. He made it easy. Well, you still have to put to death your sinful nature. But he's given that us the power to do that and overcome that and walk in that. We must resist every lawless influence. Beware of false teachers. They're out there everywhere. And we are perfectly able to keep God's law by walking according to the Spirit. Galatians 5:18-25 lays it out. He says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Listen to what he says, of which I told you before, just as I told you in times past, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, if you live in righteousness or live in lawlessness, if you go back to the lawlessness that God brought you out of, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's right. I don't know how much clearer he can be. And Paul said, I've told you before, and I'm telling you again. Obviously, they needed to hear it again. I've already told you before, and I'm telling you again. He told the Corinthians the same thing. He said, you guys need to know this because you think that grace is lawlessness. And he said that. You think that grace is lawlessness to do as you want. And he said, no, it's not. It's freedom from sin. And he says, if you continue in your lawlessness, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's pretty clear. Do not return to your vomit. Okay? Please remember my dog. I really did not want to preach this tonight but God had it so hard on my spirit. And there's things going on that are so grieving, but I know it's a word for now. Folks, do not return to your vomit. Do not return to that which God has brought you out of. Walk in the Spirit so that you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do not return to lawlessness. Walk in the righteousness that He provided. Walk in the Spirit. And so you fulfill His law. I love this psalm. I'm going to end with this. It's Psalm 119, 97 and 165. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble or be offended. Those who love God's law. Nothing will cause you to stumble or be offended when you love God's word, when you love God's ways, when you live according to Him and what He has asked you to do. Amen? Amen. We're going to close in prayer. Amanda went to help the youth over there. Father God, we just praise you tonight, Lord. God, I thank you for this word, Father, and I pray that, Lord, it goes down in my spirit, God. Let me get a hold of this, Lord. As we walk this out, let our church get a hold of this as we walk this out, Father God, that we are called for such a time as this. That it's not by accident that every single person here is in this place right now at this time because you want them here. We are here for such a time as this. We are here for this season and for this purpose that we would be the conquering church, God. That we are the bride robed in white. Our oils are burning bright, God, waiting for your return, Lord, doing what you've asked us to do the whole time, God, as we wait on you. Father, I ask you to forgive us our sins collectively and individually, Lord, that we come before you, God, humble and holy before you, Lord. And we ask you tonight, God, to show us your way, show us your direction, God, lead us and guide us in your way, Father. We just give you praises and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Get your kids, and Easter Sunday is this Sunday. Bring a friend or family member or both. 9 and 11. Saturday is our egg hunt at Terminal Park. It starts at noon. So we're going to have 10,000 eggs and a lot of hot dogs. So come and help anything. Tip your waiter on the way out.